B-Pod Studios.
So we're celebrating 60 today. We got all kinds of great giveaways. Our next giveaway is coming up in 20 minutes. It's a signed Sixers basketball. Tobias Harris, baby. That's right, Tobias. So make sure. And as we celebrate the return of the Sixers, return of the NBA, this week they go down to Orlando. Lots of great guests. But, man, I love this guy. I miss him. I haven't talked to him. I haven't seen him. One of the greats, Philadelphia legend, Jimmy Lynam on the Comcast Business Hotline. Jim!
Anthony, how are you, sir?
How's my main man? How you feeling?
Well, as you say, we've been out of the flow. Not much basketball activity. Hopefully, the NBA can pull this off. I'm looking forward to it.
I know. It would be fantastic just to get, and I love the idea of this thing because we're going to get basketball from noon until midnight every night.
Yeah, you're going to get your fill, that's for sure. It's going to be a little different, and I'm not quite sure what to expect, to be honest with you.
All right, so you, a coach par excellence, when you look at this thing, how do you approach it? If you're Brett, how do you approach this whole thing? From the bubble situation to the no fan situation, how do you approach it from a coaching standpoint?
Well, it's a great question, and I'm not sure that I have a stock answer, Anthony. Obviously, Brett and his staff have spent a lot of time, knocking it around. First things first, you have to get your group together and get them in condition. I think that's a big deal. I mean, the teams who are able to do that, get these guys back in playing shape where they can play NBA-level basketball as quickly as possible, certainly after eight games when this playoff will start. I think that would be the first priority. But I think there's a mental aspect involved here in that the setting is going to be so different in terms of, like, playoff basketball.
I know.
Normally that's tremendous intensity, fan interest, the whole bit. And I think there's going to be an adjustment there. And again, the teams that are able to make that adjustment mentally, you're going to have a little bit of an edge.
Yeah, it's weird because there's no home court advantage, right? So the seedings don't matter. There's really nothing that matters other than you're going to play those eight games just to kind of feel, get yourself back in shape, game shape, get a little bit of a flow going. And then it's kind of pure in the sense of, all right, it's about the best team.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd go so far as to say the seedings don't matter. You'd be making an assumption that the first 60-whatever games don't matter. My expectation is Milwaukee's still going to be a pretty good team when they come back, as are the Lakers, they being the two best teams in the East and the West.
Yeah, but I'm talking more about if you're the Sixers, the home court doesn't matter, right? And that was a team that was so much better at home and failed on the road. And I don't know how that manifests itself. We're talking to the great Jimmy Lynam on the Comcast Business Hotline. How do you think that goes?
No, that's a great question. Obviously, the Sixers lose one of the best home court advantages, not just in the league, in the history of the league. What, they lost two times at home.
Right.
So we know they don't have home games. But they were very, very poor on the road for whatever reason. And yes, they're away from home, but this is not going to be like the normal road games. So I don't know. That's going to be one of the fascinating things to see how that plays out. Is their play going to be somewhere in between? Granted, their schedule to me is relatively easy. I think I saw somewhere where it was rated one of the easiest schedules. And I don't know if that's good or bad. Maybe you want it real strong competition.
Yeah, we'll test it.
Eight games to prepare you. So there's a lot of unknowns here. And I think, the Sixers, as you know, we've talked a ton over the months and the season. There are still a lot of unanswered questions with this team. Forget the setting. forget the unusual nature of the schedule and that type thing. Where does Al Horford figure into this? What style of play? Are they going to be committed to a certain style? This team is going to be healthy, at least hopefully at the start of this, and they really haven't been real healthy all year long. So as a result of that, you know, will that change the way they want to play the game? So I think there's a lot of unanswered questions that I'm looking forward to see. And I think the answers to those questions will tell you in a big part how well they're going to do.
Yeah, I got thoughts. As you know, I do. And I love to run them by it because I know we've talked bully ball, built for 16. Well, the playoffs are 16. Here we go. You know, the game slows down a bit. Every possession is defended differently than it is during a regular season. And I want to see that style. I want to see defense and breakouts. And you know what? When you got a half court match, you know, you feed the big man, you know, move the ball. But I think that they're built to play a rugged, let's go to war type of style for the playoffs.
Well, we'll see. I'm not sure when you say that, would you have Horford in your lineup for, let's say, to start the game and finish the game?
Here's my lineup to start the game. My lineup.
The backbone of that question is the more important one. I'm not as concerned. It's important that they get a rotation and get a feel of how many guys they want to play. Who starts the game is not as important to me as who finishes the game. But I think you do have to address that.
I agree. I would start Matisse. I go back to Matisse. I want Matisse. I think he went through his rookie wall. I want it. I want the defense to start the game. I want Joe to touch the ball early. I want Tobias to touch the ball early. I don't want him to be shy. I need him to be aggressive offensively. And I'd bring Shake off the bench with Horford and a little Burks, and so I got a little offense off the bench. That's how I would kind of play it.
Yeah, which is I have no argument with that. Whether you start Matisse, if you'd like to start him for the defensive aspect, I think he's a terrific defender. And you're right, you'll get like a lot happening for your offense off your defense. With the presence of Matisse. So that's fine with me. But as I say, more important to me is the rotation. So you just named three guys. You didn't name Furkan. Is Furkan in your rotation?
See, here's what I would do. You tell me if I'm right. So locks in my rotation are obviously Horford and Burks off the bench. And then I play some Shake and I play some Korkmaz. And whoever's got the hot hand, whoever's feeling it, I ride. And the other guy doesn't get as much run.
You would start Matisse.
Yeah.
I would. That's a little, I think the play of Shake Milton to me is key with how far this team is going to go. I think he has come that far. If you look at his numbers as a starter, granted it's a small random sample, he averaged close to 20 points a game as a starter and shot upwards of above 40% from three. And by the eye test, they were pretty good when he was in there. He takes a lot of pressure off of Ben, in the half court set, I think. So it wouldn't be a game by game or a situational thing with me. Shake Milton's in my rotation, period. And he's going to get significant minutes if it were me.
Significant minutes?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wow. I mean, that's a lot. You got a team with Richardson healthy, Harris healthy, and Bean and Simmons. I mean, I don't know where you find all those minutes for him.
Well,
Point guard.
I'm not sure where you're going to find them either. My suggestion is you better find them. You can make the case if you. They dig out the box scores and look at the numbers.
You know, my problem...
When they started giving Shake Milton consistent playing time, you could make the case that there maybe wasn't a more consistent sixer all year long with respect to their level of play than Shake Milton once he got his opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, all due respect, it was during a regular season. There was injuries involved. And, you know, listen, I like the kid, too. I just think you're putting
Anthony, what?
I don't know,
The fact that there were injuries involved has nothing to do with Shake Milton's play. Nothing. He's on the court. That's all that counts. Now, we'll see what he does.
Riding a lot on an inexperienced player in the playoffs.
I'm relying on
you. Quite frankly, when I got, if I had Simmons, Richardson, and Harris, right? I get there's that other spot that is going to rotate, right?
Let me stop you and ask you a question.
Yeah.
Yes, I would be relying on an inexperienced player in the playoffs. Who are you starting at the fifth starting spot?
Yeah, but he's a defensive.
Anthony, answer my question, please. Who are you starting?
Matisse.
Matisse, and I like it. But you ready? And an experienced player.
I'm relying on a defensive young player. Yes, it does.
He has the ball. He can still throw a ball into the stands. Come on, he can make it.
You know better than anybody that relying on a young offensive player first is more rolling a dice than relying on a young defensive player.
Anthony, respectfully, I disagree.
Okay. Yeah, same thing.
Inexperience is inexperience. If you have enough confidence in the ability of the player, and I agree with you, by the way. I have no problem. I think Matisse will be fine. I don't think his inexperience is going to be a problem. Nor do I think Shake Milton's will be a problem.
Yeah, I hear you. I guess you're more sold on Shake than I am. I hope you're right. I hope this kid is belongs out there. I don't know. I keep going back and forth to like Richardson. Like what's my role? The reason why I brought up injuries is because of guys' minutes. He got run because certain guys were not in the game. Now you have a healthy team. How do you disperse it?
That's why I said one of the keys to their success is going to be to determine a rotation. You can't go into a playoff not knowing who you're going to play. Oh, well, he had a good shooting practice yesterday, therefore. No, you have to have a rotation, and you have to stick with it. You have to believe in it. Because if you don't believe in it, your players aren't going to believe in it.
Right. Yes. I guess that we keep going back around. I keep going around and around. Is that whose minutes, who am I looking at? Right? Like, how am I dividing this game? I agree with you in that Korkmaz is the one guy that he only gets any kind of run is if I give him a couple of minutes, and if he's feeling it, I'll ride him for a little while. Otherwise, he's not getting play.
Yeah, but that's not the way the season unfolded, as you know. I mean, Korkmaz, he was a strong player in this rotation. And I think you have to say he played reasonably well. He certainly improved as an NBA player. But I think
Jim? I don't think that the regular season, I can't go into it. I need to change up my style a little bit.
I have no problem with that.
All right.
You have a healthy team now.
Yeah.
You want to accentuate Joel Embiid in the half court. That doesn't mean you can't run the ball. If you aren't going to run the ball up and down when you have opportunity to do so, there's no sense of having Ben Simmons, who's the best open court player maybe in this league.
Right.
So every chance you have to run a ball,
yes,
stop or off a turnover, you got to run the ball. And they will. You can take that to the bank. They'll do that. But that doesn't mean that when you're in the half court that you can't, to use your phrase, pound the ball inside to Joel and try to play bully ball.
Yeah, and I'm going to use my length defensively to create breakouts.
Agreed. But obviously, then that's where you're trying to run the ball when you get your using your length, whether you're creating turnovers or getting stops, because you'd be wasting that defensive advantage if you're not looking to run it on those occasions.
I love
you can do that, by the way. That's not, some people say, well, You know, you either are one or the other. Not necessarily. No, a lot of really good teams over the history of this league. You know, they run on the stop is the phrase. You know, when you get a stop, that's when you run. The defense isn't set. Whereas when the defense, when they score, you know, now, you know, they're going to get back more readily. So now we'll get down there. We're going to put it inside the Joel.
Yeah, exactly. I kind of look at this team and the way they're built. And I know they're not the Rockets and they're not today's, you know, not the best of, you know, 2020 firing threes. That's not who they are. But to me, they could be as effective as they're almost built like those teams in the 80s that would break out. Magic, run a break. Ben, run a break. And then when you're in a half court set, you know, and B plays Jabbar and you run your offense.
That's not the worst comparison. I'm with you.
You know, I love talking to you. I love it. Jimmy Lynam on the Comcast Business Hotline. Tell me about the regular. One of the differences that we had a moment ago was, I guess I put a little less stock into the regular season. Am I putting too less stock in the regular season and the lack of playing defense and, you know, road trips and then the grind of the 82?
Well, I would say not necessarily, because this new situation is going to be like so different than anything that we've seen. So to say,
yeah.
How is it going to relate to what took place, you know, back when, which seems ages ago? It's certainly not like a normal relevance, as you can't just forget 82 games and all of a sudden ring a bell and start playoff basketball. It doesn't work that way. Usually, the regular season is a pretty good, you know, like forerunner of what's going to happen in the playoffs. But I'm not going to make that case now, no, because this is so different.
How about Horford, Jim? How do you use Horford? Maybe he talked about his knee being healthier. How do you kind of see Horford fitting in? Because to your point, and you started the conversation with, hey, it's about who's finishing the game. Is Horford finishing the game for you? Obviously, it's matchup. A lot depends on who the matchups are. But what do you do with Al and trying to make sure that Al's a big part of this thing?
Yeah, I saw a statement Al made, it wasn't yesterday, the day before, where, you know, he's comfortable, however the Sixers opt to use him. And that to me kind of was almost like a little bit of a signal that he was saying that if you guys don't want to start me, he's fine with that. I have no problem. I love Al Horford, the player. I think he's a terrific player. I just think that sometimes with respect to he and Joel being on the court at the same time together, it's just not maxing out the two players with respect to what they're capable of doing and where they're comfortable in terms of what Joel is surrounded by, and that Al doesn't quite get the opportunities that he could get when Joel is not on the court. I would like to see him featured a bit more when he's out there by himself, meaning without Joel. I think that would help him a bit.
Jim, I love you, buddy. I so appreciate this. I love having this conversation, batting it around. It's just fascinating. So it's great to kind of reconnect with you. And I'm looking forward to these playoffs and getting ball back, a little semblance of normalcy.
Yeah, I think it's really going to be, obviously we've missed it for so long. So like you, I'm really looking forward to it. But I think there really is, I'm not just trying to create storylines. I think there's a lot of intrigue here as to, like, I have no idea, you know, how this is going to unfold as a league, number one. And then what's specific to the 76ers, you know, there's a lot of questions here. I think if this team can answer these questions, you know, in a positive way, like, you know, get the right answer popping up for you, I think this team has a chance to go, like, really far.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I'm with you. Listen, you got to be safe, all right? Stay safe, my brother.
All right. And the same for you. That's obviously the first priority for everybody. Good speaking, my friend.
Amen. Love you, coach. See you, buddy.
All right, buddy.
Here he is, Jim Lynam on the Comcast Business Hotline. A lot of fun.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.